بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله حمده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إنه لا يحب المستكبرين. وقال تعالى: لا تفرح إن الله لا يحب الفرحين. وقد ورد في الحديث القدسي عن الله عز وجل أنه قال: الكبرياء رذائي والعظمة إزاري. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. وقال أيضا عليه الصلاة والسلام: الكبر بطر الحق وغمط الناس، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. معزز علماء الكرام، عزيز طلبة، brothers and friends. On one occasion, Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali was presiding over his majlis. There were groups of people around him. Prominent among them was a group of ulama. Several discussions perhaps took place in that majlis, but eventually one discussion that took place was that of takfir. In other words, the ulama talking among themselves, as a Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali listening to the conversation, one alim saying that a certain mufti has declared a certain alim a kafir out of the fold of Islam. Someone else then also gave input that a certain darul ifta of another madrasa labeled another alim as a kafir out of the fold of Islam. The Gangohi Rahmatullah silently listened to the conversation, but then eventually he had to make a comment, because he saw that the conversation was going in the wrong direction. The approach, the mannerism with which the topic was being discussed, that these ulama were basically dissecting, analyzing the fatwa of these muftis in such a way that it gave the impression that our iman will always remain protected, intact. Our iman is not in danger. Everything is hunky-dory for us. But these people against whom fatwa of kufr has been issued, they have been consigned to the fire of Jahannam. In other words, the approach created that little hint of pride that yes, we are better. Our iman is protected. No mufti has issued a fatwa of kufr against us, but here we have a fatwa of kufr against these people, where they should have reflected and pondered that if, let us assume, that fatwa of kufr was correct, then too, as long as a spark of life is present in a person, he has the opportunity to make tawbah, to repent, to correct his beliefs, to correct his ways, make peace with his Creator. That same person who was labeled a kafir today, tomorrow he could become the biggest wali of Allah. Whereas this person that he is criticizing and indirectly saying, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْهُ, I am better than him, that no such fatwa has been issued against me, my iman is protected, where the person has no guarantee, tomorrow the tables could turn. So because there was a tinge of pride in there, self-conceitedness, Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, after remaining silent, was then constrained to speak out. He became annoyed in the manner with which the issue was being discussed and approached. He rebuked these ulama and said to them that kin lagwiyat ke andar pare ho, what nonsensical, futile discussion you are engaged in. Yaad rakho ke kal qiyamat ko jo bakhshish hogi wo tumhare fatwe ko pooch pooch kar bakhshish nahi hogi. Allah ko fatwe ki zarurat nahi. So why are you wasting your time in this futile discussion that so and so is a kafir, so and so is a kafir? Use your time more constructively. Then as Gangoi Rahmatullah Ali said, that tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah Ta'ala will begin to forgive people due to His sifat quality of Ghafoor or Rahim, that same person was labeled as a kafir, he may have repented, come onto the right track. Allah will forgive them. He will not need to ask any mufti for a fatwa that should I forgive this person or to punish him. Allah will be the judge. And then the Gangoi Rahmatullahi took a qasam. He said, Khuda ki qasam, aise bhi log honge jinko tum pakka kafir kehte ho, lekin wo khule jannat mein chale jayenge. He took the oath of Allah that there will be some people whom you in this world branded, assume to be a kafir through and through. Yet you will see them in front of your eyes going into Jannah. And you will be left to rue and to regret the criticism, the comments that you made, which showed that little pride. For that you may be held back to taste the punishment, to be cleansed of that pride. Pride is a very destructive malady, a spiritual malady that cultivates and leads to many other maladies. With pride, a person begins to develop hasad, jealousy, enmity for other people, animosity. He develops greed, stinginess. Many of the spiritual maladies are basically prompted by pride. Which is why our ulama have called pride Ummul Amrar, the mother of all spiritual maladies. Sufi Iqbal Sahib Rahmatullahi and the Shaykh Rahmatullahi Khalifa has prepared a booklet. It is titled Ummul Amrad, in which he makes intisab to the Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi, that what is written in this book is from the teachings of the Shaykh Rahmatullahi. So kibr, pride, has been called Ummul Amrad, according to the Sufiya Kiram, the root and the mother of all spiritual maladies. What has the Gangoi Rahmatullah was trying to indicate? That even though a mufti may have issued a fatwa of kufr against someone, but sometimes there is some wisdom behind that, some reasoning behind it. Even though he uses the term kafir, perhaps he did not mean it in a technical sense of the word. He could have meant that the person made some statement or perpetrated some action that compromises iman. For that reason, in order to open his eyes to repent, the mufti will tell him, that is a precautionary measure. Even though we cannot pass a blanket ruling of kufr, but we recommend that you renew your iman, renew your nikah. In our Darul Iftatu, we get queries of this nature. One of the usul of iftar is that if a person makes such a dangerous statement that could lead him into kufr, as far as possible, we should try and take out a good interpretation of that statement to save him from kufr. But at the same time, we can recommend to him that as a precaution, as a safety measure, renew your iman, which is something that you all ought to do daily, renewing our iman, rejuvenating our iman. So if that mufti issued the fatwa of kufr, it is between the mufti and the mustafti, and between the mustafti and Allah Ta'ala. We have no reason, no right, to then make it a hot topic of discussion and to pass night remarks about that person, indicating that we are better than you. That is pride. The Quran says, إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْتَكْبِرِينَ. Allah Ta'ala does not love the arrogant people, people who are arrogant. In another ayat of the Quran, with regard to Qarun, لَا تَفْرَحْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَرِحِينَ. That Qarun was proud of his wealth and his status in society. So Allah Ta'ala says, do not take pride in your wealth and in your status. Allah Ta'ala does not like those people who are proud of their title, of their status, of their wealth, of their position. And sometimes the mufti may use the term kafir to indicate that this person is ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kafir could mean that as well. And sometimes also, he may not be out of the fold of Islam, but because of his warped ideologies, to save other people from following in his footsteps, maybe the mufti uses a harsh term, like the word kufr or kafir, in order to prevent people from following in his footsteps. Yes, when there are clear-cut proofs that the person is definitely out of the fold of Islam, then a mufti also will not pull punches. Clearly he will say, if a question has to come, that what is the status of the iman of Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, naturally, ordinary Muslim also will say, that is a murtad, apostate, kafir, because he claimed prophethood, which is against the clear-cut text of the Qur'an Kareem, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was Khatamun Nabiyyin, no Nabi to come after Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Or if a person following the Shia Mazhab, and he has the Kufriya beliefs of the Shia, like for instance, Shia, many of them believe that the present Qur'an has been interpolated. It is not the Qur'an that was revealed upon Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It has been changed. It is not authentic. Na'udhu billah. Whereas we believe that it is in the same condition and state, all the ayat verses as were revealed upon Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no addition, no alteration, no adulteration, intact. But if a Shia does not believe in our Quran, after the fall of Islam, those Shia who say that, apart from a handful of Sahaba radiallahu anhu majmain, the rest of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majmain, including Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu, became murtad, na'udhu billah, after the fall of Islam, how can such a person be a Muslim? A Shia who accuses and slanders The mother of the mu'mineen, Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha. How can such a person be a mu'min? And Shia who says that Jibreel alayhi salam made a mistake by bringing the wahi to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi salam. It was supposed to go to Ali radhiyallahu ta'ala. How can such a person remain a Muslim? So there a mufti will pull no punches. Clear cut. No doubt in that person's kufr who believes in another Nabi after Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or has these type of beliefs like the Shia Sahaba. So sometimes the mufti, there is a reasoning for him using a harsh term. Shaykh Shahabuddin Sarwardi rahmatullah alayh, who founded one of the four channels of tasawwuf, like you get the four schools of fiqh, Hanafi, Shafi, Hanbali, Maliki, yet you get four, Chistiyya, Naqshbandiyya, Saharwardiyya, and Qadiriyya. So this is the founder of the Saharwardiyya tasawwuf movement. All of them are on haqq. In fiqh, shariat also, whether you are Hanafi, Shafi, Hanbali, Maliki, you are on the truth, on the haqq. Because the objective of every iman was the same, to follow the shariat sent down via Nabi Karim Sa'asim to the ummah. But the way of following that sharia, methodology, could be different. Similarly, the aim of tasawwuf, to gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to expunge the heart from spiritual diseases. So there may be different methods, but all take you to the same destination. Divine love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, proximity to Allah ta'ala, removing the spiritual maladies from the heart, that is the object of all. Like if four people want to go to the post office, one takes Azad Avenue, another one takes Lambda, a third takes Mysuri, the fourth one takes Minara, they are all going to reach the same destination, the post office. Yes, the method, the road of arriving there may be different. So nonetheless, Shaykh Shahabuddin Sarwardi rahmatullah alayh, one of his contemporaries, was a great alim and buzurg by the name of Muhyiddin ibn Arabi rahmatullah alayh. He regarded a somewhat controversial figure, but nonetheless a true Muslim. So one layman came to Shaykh Shahabuddin Sarwardi rahmatullah alayh and asked him that Ibn Arabi rahmatullah alayh is your contemporary. What is your opinion about him? So he said, Ibn Arabi is a zindiq, meaning he's an agnostic, heretic. And normally such a person is considered to be out of the fold of Islam. But he did not use the term kafir. He said zindiq, agnostic, heretic. After some time, Ibn Arabi rahmatullah alayhi passed away. The same man who asked Shaykh's opinion about Ibn Arabi rahmatullah alayhi came to meet Shaykh Shahabuddin rahmatullah alayhi, and Shaykh said to him that today the Islamic world has lost a qutb of its time. Such a great wali is lost to the ummah. So the man was obviously confused, perplexed. Then he asked, but what do you assume his position in the akhirat? Shaykh said, he is on a very elevated level in the akhirat. So the man was puzzled. He asked Shaykh, that earlier on, some months before, when I asked you, you said he was zindiq, agnostic. Now you are praising him. So Shaykh explained that Ibn Arabi's writings and his statements are so complicated and so complex that leave aside a layman, even for ulama to understand his philosophy, is very, very difficult. So because of that, I told you that he's a zindiq. My purport was that you do not read his work. By reading his books, there was a danger that you would become a zindiq. That is why I said he is a zindiq, meaning that his writings, his statements, if not understood correctly, would lead a person to heresy, to becoming agnostic. So sometimes the mufti's purpose is this also, to prevent people from following in the footsteps of that person, in order to safeguard their iman, not meaning kafir in the technical sense of the word. But nonetheless, Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullah was intimating that we do not have to waste our time in these type of discussions. We have far more better things to do in life. As students of deen, we ought to be more vigilant. Ulama have to be more careful. The prime target of Iblis, Shaitan, is a person engaged in the learning and teaching of ilm al-deen. So we have to be extra vigilant that because we have become ulama, or we are becoming alims, should not give us that impression that we are better than everyone else. An alim ought to humble himself, lower himself, because he attains that self-conceit, egoism, pride, that will be very destructive. The hadith says that لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. That person will not enter Jannat who has even an iota bit of pride in his heart. That until that pride is not expunged and cleansed in the fire of Jahannam, even his iman will not take him into Jannat immediately. First he will be punished. And Nabi Sallam defines kibr, takabbur, pride, al-kibru batar al-haq wa ghamtu al-nas, aw kama qala al-Rasulullah. That pride means denial of the truth. In what sense? That the truth is that every person, whether he's an alim, whether he's a great shaykh, whether he's a buzrug, whatever the case may be, he should consider himself the lowest of the low. He should humble himself, consider himself to be a non-entity, and then look at the bounties of Allah. Say, oh Allah, I am the lowest of the low. I did not do anything to deserve these bounties, but you have blessed me with these bounties. The bounty of deen knowledge, the bounty of good health, the bounty of sustenance. I was not deserving of this, but oh Allah, your kindness, your compassion has favored me with these bounties. So this is actual truth, that we consider ourselves the lowest of the low. وَغَمْتُ النَّاسِ. The other portion of kibr, pride, is to look down upon other people, to regard other people as inferior, that we are superior. That is the essence of pride, of takabbur. Unfortunately, many of us, me included, we are guilty of this. We ought to rectify ourselves. Many a time you will find, and I say this with sadness, but it is a fact of life, that because I go out in tabligh, I have given my chilla 4 months, daily I give my time, a Muslim brother passes by, but because he is not involved in tabligh, I won't even make salam to him. I will only make salam if he goes out for his chilla, for his 4 months, for his 1 year, as if to say that you only deserve jannat if you go out in tabligh. Otherwise you are consigned to the rubbish bin. That is a sad state of affairs. Conversely, a person of the khanqah will see a certain so-and-so does not attend any khanqah, he will not make salam to him. Because I am a khanqah person, أنا خير منه, I am better than him. Or the person from one khanqah will not make salam to the person from another khanqah. That you don't attend the majalis of my sheikh, you are not worthy of being greeted also. This is pride. This is takabbur. Very disgusting. Ummul Amrad. Take a lesson from Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In spite of being the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet he was the most humble as well. Someone came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and addressed him, Ya Khair al-Bariyah, O the best of the creation, which is true, it is our belief. He is the best of creation. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brushed it aside and said, Zaka Ibrahim. Perhaps you are referring to Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. I am not the best of creation. Ibrahim alayhi salam is. This was the humility of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Makkah al-Mukarramah, liberated the city, conquered the city. When he entered the city, on his conveyance, his head head was lowered in humility, tears streaming from his eyes. Other conquerors of the world will lift their heads up high, high and mighty, haughtiness, that we have conquered your country, we will return. The punishment for all the persecution you subjected us to. But no, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lowering his head, entering the city as a conqueror, head lowered, eyes are moist with tears, reciting, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina, that, O Allah, you have fulfilled your promise by giving us victory over our enemies. As Mufti Mahmud Hassan Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, he's also painted this picture in a poem where he says, Fatihane Makkah aye, sar jukaye chashmenam. That the conqueror of Makkah came in such a condition that his head is lowered, his eyes are moist with tears. Such was the humility of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Maulana al-Shaykh al-Isab Thanwi rahmatullahi has written in one of his books, Al-Qawl al-Jaleel, the malfoz of his ustaz, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hind, Maulana Mahmud al-Hasan Sahib Deobandi rahmatullahi, he quotes him there. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hind rahmatullahi used to say, ki ye sab kuch kitabe parhne ke baad hume pata chala ki hum to jahil hai. After studying all these books of Islamic knowledge. Now it has dawned upon me that I am still an ignorant person. In spite of his immense knowledge, he considers himself ignorant. Because the more that a person learns and acquires of Islamic knowledge, the more he becomes aware that there is much more to learn. The ocean of knowledge is too vast. A person cannot reach the other shore. When the Khadir alayhi salam was on the boat with the Musa alayhi salatu salam, it comes in the hadith, وَجَاءُ أُسْفُورٌ فَوَقَعَ عَلَى سَفِينَةِ الْبَحْرِ فَوَقَعَ عَلَى حَرْفِ الْبَحْرِ يَا عَلَى حَرْفِ السَّفِينَةِ. There's a little bird came, فَوَقَعَ عَلَى حَرْفِ السَّفِينَةِ. It sat on the edge of that boat, very small bird, and it began to sip from the water of the ocean. Few drops went into its beak. Hazrat Khadir alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam, both of them observed this. Hazrat Khadir alayhi salam remarked, he said that ma ilmi wa ilmuka fi ilmi Allah ta'ala illa misla ma naqasa hadha al-usfur min hadha al-bahr. That my knowledge and your knowledge combined, both are the messengers of Allah. Yet he says our knowledge combined, compared to the knowledge of Allah, is not even equal to the amount of water that went into the beak of this bird. No comparison. So Shaykh Ulil Rahmatullah used to say that after exhausting and studying so many books of deen, yet I came to the conclusion that I am still an ignorant person. So that knowledge should not bring about self-conceit. It should not bring about pride. Hazrat Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah Ali, when his students used to come in the final year to do Bukhari Sharif by him, throughout the year he used to address them saying, "E jahilin ki jamaat, O group of ignorant people. They're about to graduate as ulama, but as an eye-opener, that no matter how much you have studied, there is still much more to learn. You are still ignorant." So during the year, he used to call them jahilin. But when they would graduate, he would call them juhalin, super ignorant. Not that you are on a pedestal now, you're going to go out and conquer the world. When you're still wet behind the ears, you need a lot of time, experience, before you can tackle the challenges of the world out there. So this was the humility. And the Shaykh al-Hadith, Malal Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, read his books. In what a humble way he refers to himself. Ki ye nakara, ye sihakar. That is how he refers to himself. That this worthless soul is penning these words down. This person whose heart is black with sins is writing these few words. This is how people of this caliber refer to themselves. When Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib bin Nuri Rahmatullah Ali was appointed as a Shaykh al-Hadith in the Madrasa in Dabel, before that, Hazrat Shah Sahib, Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah Ali, who was his ustaz, had taught Bukhari Sharif in Dabel. Hazrat bin Nuri Rahmatullah Ali also graduated from Dabel at the feet of Shah Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali. When Shah Sahib took ill, he had to leave the madrasa. So the administration appointed Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib bin Nuri Rahmatullah Ali as his successor, as the Shaykh al-Hadith in Dabir. Maulana Abdullah Sahib Kapoor Rahmatullahi related an incident. I heard it from his lips. Maulana Abdullah Sahib Rahmatullahi says, in those days, I was still a student in a madrasa in the lower primary classes. But he says, I still recall the day when the first dars, sabak, of Bukhari Sharif was taught when the madrasa commenced by Hazrat bin Nuri Rahmatullah Ali. He knew that Shah Saf was his ustad. So the special little sort of mattress that the ustad used to sit on, Shah Saf used to sit on, Hazrat bin Nuri Rahmatullah Ali moved away from there. He did not have the courage of sitting on that same masnad on that place. Maulana Abdullah Sahib Kapoor Rahmatullahi said that people used to speak highly of Shaykh bin Nuri Rahmatullahi. What a great alim he was. He had memorized 90,000 words of the Arabic dictionary. Every word was all its different variants. So to say was a walking dictionary. That was his vocabulary. His knowledge was immense. But when he began to teach the first hadith, he was trembling. And he made a statement to the audience, ki ye qiyamat ki nishani hai. This is a sign of Qiyamah. What? What is the sign? Ki aaj Anwar Shah jaisi shakhsiyat ki jagah par Yusuf bin Nuri jaise adna aadmi ko bithaya ja raha. There's a place where Shah Saab taught a lowly person like Yusuf bin Nuri is going to teach Bukhari Sharif. This was that emotional moment that made everyone in the audience start weeping. But look at the humility of this person. Look at his humbleness. So this knowledge should not make a person feel conceited. Pride should not come about. Harun was from the Banu Israel, but he became a munafiq like Samiri. Allah granted him wealth, so much wealth, that his treasures were in so many rooms, that the bunch of keys that he had for his rooms, a whole group of people would find difficulty in carrying those keys also. He was blessed with knowledge. He was an alim of the Torah. But in spite of that, he became jealous of the Musa alayhi salam and of the Harun alayhi salam. That why are they the leaders of Banu Israel? I have wealth, I have knowledge. Why can't I be the leader? It was a pride that brought about his downfall. He went out in a procession, garbed in very expensive clothing. Soldiers on either side, and Allah Ta'ala commanded the earth to open up, and the earth swallowed him up. He perished. All that pride gone into the bottom of the ground. This is what pride does. One student of the Mufti Mahmud Hassan Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullahi, an accomplished student, he got a post to teach in a certain madrasa and he got promotion until he became the Shaykhul Hadith of that madrasa. He started teaching Bukhari Sharif. It was also divided there in two parts. The first part he was teaching, second part another ustaz. So because of the first part, he was considered as the Sadr Mudaris, the head teacher, Shaykh al-Hadith. So after a few years of him teaching the first volume, the administration decided that from this year, we will assign volume 2 for him to teach, and we'll give volume 1 to another ustaz. Take it away from him. Obviously the intention was clean, that at least he will get the opportunity of covering the second volume as well. So he was a student of Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, in his Malfuzat, he mentions that this alim wrote a letter to Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali that Hazrat, madrasa walon ne meri tauheen ki, they have humiliated me, that till today I was teaching volume 1 of Bukhari Sharif, now it's been taken away from me and I've been given volume 2. So I've been dropped from grace. Meri tauheen ki hai. They have humiliated me. Look at our Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali made it Islam. Father says, I wrote back to him and I said to him that ponder for a little while. When Hazrat Imam Bukhari Rahmatullah Ali sat down to pen the Bukhari Sharif, when he completed volume 1 and reached volume 2, did he regard this as tawheen, as humiliation, that now I have to write down volume 2? Obviously not. It was still a matter of respect and honor. So similarly, isme kya tumhari tawheen bhi? Madrasa walon ne apne hikmat ke mutabik, agar yeh faisla kiya, to usko qabul kar le. So this Hazrat wrote to him. And Hazrat put him in his place, something to ponder over. That when Hazrat Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh did not regard this as a disgrace to be given volume 2 instead of volume 1, to write and pen that down, why are you considering this to be humiliation or disgraceful for you? So ulama has to be especially very, very vigilant. Pride drops a person from grace. No time to mention the full incident. But Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali published their little booklet separately about Shaykh of Andalus, Shaykh Abu Abdullah Andalusi, who was a great alim of his time. He had memorized tens of thousands of hadiths, half of the Quran. He could recite the Quran in all the 7 and 10 modes and dialects. Yet on one occasion, when he passed by a group of idolaters, just a thought crossed his mind, that how foolish are these people. They are like donkeys, worshipping stone, worshipping idols. You and I, if we had a thought of this coming to our minds, Allah may have overlooked it. But there is a saying, Hasanatul Abrar, Sayyatul Muqarrabin. That some statement may be innocent for other people, but those that are extremely close to Allah, very detrimental. The principle of Sharia is, if you see someone doing wrong, you shun that evil act. Don't shun the person himself. Don't say he's a donkey. Tomorrow Allah Ta'ala could give him hidayat. He could become a better person than you. So Allah Ta'ala taught him a lesson. He fell for a Christian young woman, very beautiful. He went to ask for a hand in marriage. The Christian father put a condition that I'll only give my daughter to you if you forsake your religion. Become a Christian. So unfortunately, he was so obsessed. Shaitan attacked the ulama, primary target. He agreed. Na'udhu billah, he became a Christian. He married a Christian woman. He is wearing a crucifix around his neck. And the same asa, the staff, that he used to use to give khutbah, he used it to graze pigs and swine. That is how Allah Ta'ala dropped him. This was due to pride, kibr. Batarul haq wa ghamtun nafs. To regard other people as inferior, that I am better than them. Ana khayrun min. Like Iblis said, خَلَقْتَنِ مِنْ نَارِ وَخَلَقْتُ مِنْ طِينِ. Iblis was the first person that fell from grace due to pride. Nonetheless, that story is very lengthy. Eventually, Allah Ta'ala made him see the folly of his ways. Later he repented. Yet thousands of muridin that were making dua for him, then Allah Ta'ala must give him hidayat. Eventually, he recited the kalima, became a Muslim again, and became a shaykh of his time again. So that is why we have to remain very, very vigilant. That's ujiba, that's takabbur, vanity, self-conceitedness, pride, that everyone else is inferior, I'm superior, very, very destructive. Allah give us all the tawfiq of reforming ourselves, expunging our nafs, our hearts, from this malady, which is known as Ummul Amra, the root of all spiritual diseases. Allah give us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.